We are two women in academia,
raising questions and breaking down perceptions
from a Black point of view.
Welcome to the Black Case Podcast.
It's your girl, Dr. Porcher.
And it's your girl, Dr. Bertrand.
Listen, Dr. Bertrand. So, a few things before we get started.
What?
This is our final episode recording in Bravery Studios.
I know.
For this season. So before we get started, I just want to take a moment to say thank you to Marvin.
Shout out to Marvin.
To Marvin. He's an engineer. He's on the ones and twos.
Ones and twos. And he know what to do.
Oh, you a rep? You a singer?
Rapping? You never know the way academia is set up.
Oh, okay. All right. So, again, thank you. I feel like I want to say this to you, Marvin, that you've elevated our work.
Absolutely.
We've gotten great feedback on the sound and just the organization. So, I want to say thank you. And I know we always fuss every time I come.
Not we. You and Marvin. Keep me out of this.
And that's still we, right? Oh, it's two of us.
Well, okay. I just want folks to know I don't be up in the studio raising all kinds of foolishness.
So, we fuss all the time. But it's because, you know, I just want this to be done with excellence, and I feel like you have risen to the challenge, so I appreciate you, Marvin. So, best friend. Yeah, listen, we got some dope people house today, we are having a very critical and hard conversation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, y'all know we gonna be ourselves, so there'll be some laughs there, but I do want to just warn the audience that this is a serious conversation, so make sure that you're in the place that you want to be mentally before you enter this conversation. But can you tell the folks what we talking about today, friend?
I'm going to use my CNN voice.
Okay.
CNN. MSNBC.
Okay.
Today we are talking about critical conversations in the classroom.
Oh.
Yes. Shootings and anti-Black violence.
Oh.
I did good.
Okay. I didn't know that, you know, you were a CNN rep, but it's good to know that that's been added to your CV. Like, I'm
first of all, it was just an audition, but whatever.
Come on, audition. Listen. Okay. Listen, you got to speak.
You got to speak a word.
Come on. If you want to be a CNN anchor, just let me know, okay? So we have two amazing people in the building today, and I think it's important for us to just, well, for me, let me just tell you about me, how much I've been following them and have been impressed with their work.
Very impressive.
Just what they do on Twitter, what they do on Instagram. What they do in real life, because I think sometimes when we think about social media, we think we know people.
You know people be lying on social media, but these people be keeping it real.
Okay. Why you gotta tell people business?
Because
okay?
They do be testing.
Okay. So, but what I'm really impressed with is just their commitment to education and the work that they're doing. So I'm so excited to have them here because we have both facets. We have the classroom experience and we have teacher education. So this I'm just gonna come right out the gate.
Come on, bring them out. Bring them out.
Absolute pleasure, honey. Okay.
Not pleasure.
Pleasure, honey.
Okay.
To introduce Mrs. Honey Shanae Wells Bond. Okay. So let me tell y'all about Shanae, okay? Okay, I'm adding this to Shanae's bio, but just let me do what I do. Okay?
Did they give you permission to add
Listen,
to the people's bio?
I got you.
Oh, so they shaking their head, yes.
I want to say I started following Shanae about 2 years ago on Twitter, and not often do you see someone who's extremely passionate about education, but what I love about Shanae the most, and I'm adding this to your bio, so Shanae, you could take it if you want, okay? What I love about Shanae the most is not only does she talk about her wins in the classroom, but she also talks about her challenges. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when we think about any work that we do, it's so easy to just elevate the great things you're doing, but I know you're a great educator when you say, you know what, this didn't go well, and this is how I'm thinking about it.
I love that.
So that's what draw me to her, because that also lets me know that she operates in excellence, right? So she sees what she's doing and she knows the challenge, but like, this is what I need to do to fix it. Mm-hmm. So I love that about her. So I'm always like, what they talking about today? What great things are she doing in her classroom today?
You kind of borderline stalker.
No, I'm not a stalker.
Yeah, because you kept telling me, like, oh my goodness. Okay, supporter. You see Shanae? Girl, I ain't even been on Twitter today.
Listen, because
she loves you, and now I love you.
Listen, I'm a former high school teacher, so I'm always looking at the great work you're doing, but now I'm gonna go to the real bio. Okay,
go to the real bio.
Shanae is an educator, a teacher, and an eternal student.
I love that word.
Her current graduate work focuses on increasing access to dual credit and advanced academic opportunities for Black and Brown students. Come on, advancement. She is an English teacher at Southwest High School in Fort Worth, Texas.
Come on, Texas.
Whose professional work focuses on increasing the access to diverse texts, affirming Black, Brown, and LGBTQ plus students' identities, and being the teacher she needed.
Oh my goodness.
Beautiful.
That was beautiful. Beautiful. Being the teacher she needed.
That's the point, right? Like, ooh, she ain't not even trying to replicate the mess she saw. She doing better. So, can y'all just take a moment and can we give a round of applause really quick, Marvin, before we bring her on to Miss Shanae Wells Bomb. Make sure you put that Wells. Put some respect on her
put
name.
Put some respect
okay?
on her name.
All right, Frankie, okay. Can you tell us who we have in the building?
Well, I have the pleasure.
Come on, pleasure.
Distinct honor.
Distinct honor.
You see what I did there? I pulled some words out of my word bank. Of introducing Dr. Courtney E. Rose.
Come on.
Okay, come on now, somebody. Dr. Rose is a visiting professor in Education Policy Studies Department at Florida International University. And I got to give a shout out to my hubby, honey. He was from Miami, Florida. So come on, FIU. But anyway, she is also the founder of the educational consulting firm, Ivy Rose Consulting.
So that is so cute. I love it. I love the way she put her name in there.
I like that. It gives me like a blue ivy with an Ivy Rose. Like, okay, whatever. Prior to beginning her doctoral studies, Dr. Rose taught math and science for 3 years in the Duval County Public School System in Jacksonville, Florida.
Two years
of which were completed during her commitment as a Teach for America Corps member. Currently, her research and work interests include the development and implementation of innovative approaches to social justice-oriented, critical, and culturally relevant instructional practices and curricular designs.
Ain't that needed? Real deal.
Come on, somebody. Her student-driven approach to teacher education and development aims to provide teachers with new tools and understandings on how to incorporate youth culture into curriculum and instruction to better engage students in academic content and facilitate discussions rooted in issues of diversity and social justice. But I'm not finished.
Come on, okay?
Adopting a culturally relevant, responsive framework, Dr. Rose views curricular designs and instructional practices as powerful tools through which to construct legitimate and impose messages about what is appropriate, intelligent, and valuable in impacting students' views. Given this, her approach to teacher education professional development aims to help educators and administrators develop or enhance their practices to bridge students' cultural, academic, and social identities and co-create more meaningful learning experiences with and for the increasingly racially, culturally, socially, linguistically diverse students and families of today's schools, which, okay, drum roll.
Come on.
Which is the focus of her upcoming book,
come
set to be released March 2023. Bam, bounce for that book, okay? So we are just so honored to have both of you here with us today. Dr. Rose, we see you on Instagram.
Killing it
with your posts, honey. If y'all don't follow Dr. Courtney Rose and all of the great posts that she has, y'all are missing out on just getting stuff for free out here, okay? Because she should be charging. She should be having a little OnlyFans page to share the information. OnlyFans ain't for that, is it?
I don't know because I don't do that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let's go. Move us forward. Bring them in the building.
Listen, can y'all say what's up to the folks before
say
we get
hello,
started?
Everybody.
Hey, y'all. No, y'all gotta
y'all
say it.
Y'all gotta say it. They can't
hey. Listen. Hello, everyone.
Oh, y'all so sweet.
They are so sweet. We like, no, you got to open your mouth.
Y'all gotta say what's up. Okay,
we were cracking up. We were both laughing. So we had to take a minute for OnlyFans.
Listen, I don't know what
but that's
OnlyFans
probably not appropriate, right? For her to be on there, right?
What is OnlyFans?
I don't know. I be seeing them girls on Instagram talking about come today. Only I don't do that. But I know that people do stuff. Let's just move forward, okay? Because I don't think this is going where it needs to go.
Listen, we're going to get right into it, y'all. But the one thing that we love to do here on the Black Gays Podcast is we recognize that we don't get anywhere in our lives without the people who paved the way for
us. Absolutely.
And so with the topic that we're focusing on today, we want to take a moment for you all to think about an OG who has really, really supported you in being able to have critical conversations with your students. It doesn't have to be about anti-blackness or violence or racism, but just in general, someone who cultivated that skill in you to have those critical conversations in your classroom. I'm going to start with Dr. Rose.
So for me, that would definitely be Dr. Yolanda Seeley Ruiz.
Yes, come on, Yoli.
And I know she's gotten her shine here before, but that's who it was. It was her course that I took, teaching English to diverse populations.
So I took that course too.
Right, game changer, right?
Game changer.
The way she navigated some, and there were things happening during the time when I was taking that course, similar to what we're going to get into today. And the grace and just vulnerability and honesty that she used to navigate those conversations just changed my whole view on how to have them and also why they're so important to have. And so that's definitely who my shout out goes to.
And you know what, as you said that, Dr. Rose, I think too, the one thing that I've always been so impressed with Yoli is the way she does it with grace. It's very different, you know, and people do all types of professional developments and experiences having critical conversations, but the grace she carries in this conversation, like I always tell her, I wish I can just bottle it up and put it in my pocket, because before you realize it, even though the conversation may be difficult for you, before you realize it, you're leaning in. So I just love that about her. So thank you for evoking her presence in the space. She is a huge supporter of Black Gays and continues to love on us and push us. Ms. Shanae, who would your OG be? Who taught you how to have critical conversations in your classroom?
So I have three.
Come on.
Also, you're pulling that Keisha, but that's okay.
I have three. So Madam Tyrion Bino, Dr. Karina Hoffpair, and Dr. Denise Simmons. So in my 22 years of school now, I've had three Black women teachers and professors.
Wow.
And the three of them really showed me how to show up with my full humanity as a Black woman. It was something that was not an added, right? I am Black and I'm a woman and I'm a teacher. It was all three. And so for me, it was so important to see that modeled. So I have such excellent appreciation for all three of them.
And you know, it's so interesting. We keep bringing this up each time, but like what has been like a central theme in our work is that for some reason, the majority of the OGs are Black women across all of our podcasts. And so it's so amazing to see. I mean, we know we're magic. We know the pain that we hold too. But just the amount of work that Black women do in general to just cultivate excellence in this country. And I always think about the statement you made, like, and we do that with racism and, you know, social injustice. And what would happen if we didn't have those barriers? You know, what else could we cultivate in people? And so shout out to Black women.
Absolutely.
Shout out to the three Black women you named.
There's nothing else I would rather be, honey.
Friend, I'm going to let you.
Yes, queen, yes, queen, yes, queen.
Okay.
Let's move into the interview.
Let's just jump right in. I'm going to let you go first with the first question.
So I want to know, how are you all doing right now? Like, we really are experiencing some of the crazy, I can't even say the craziest times, because it seems like every morning, right, there's something new that pops up. But we're talking today specifically about the shootings that have happened. We're talking about anti-Black violence. So when you think about just you as a human being, how are you doing? And so I'm going to go to Shanae first. How are you doing today?
I have been thinking about this question, and today I am okay. I feel very blessed to be in community with y'all. Overall, we started out, this is my first full week of summer break, and I have felt really exhausted trying to recover and recuperate and just be at an equilibrium has felt almost impossible. So for the last few days, I've been very lucky that I've been able to just sleep and rest. So I feel a little bit rejuvenated, but also a little bit sad and disappointed and disturbed that it has taken, you know, a week, 2 weeks almost to feel some semblance of human. It's just from teaching all year. It's wild. But today I feel okay.
And you know what, when you're saying that, I'm just thinking about how our body holds so much and the reason why it's taking you probably this long to find rest after a week of not being, you know, in school is because your body is trying to release all the things that it had to hold all school year long. And so I am happy that you are pausing and taking this time, because one of the things that we don't often think about is rest is revolutionary. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of work to turn your mind off, turn your body off, and say, you know what? I'm not doing anything today, because the world will still keep going on. Okay? So I'm glad that you're doing that.
As she was speaking, I've been thinking a lot about, just in general, like all of our heroes and Black women who did this work, and they died early, right? From all types of sickness. And yes, our body does keep count, but just the amount that we have to hold while also having to pour as an educator, right? I also want to recognize, because this is just the therapy in me, I want to recognize your ability to identify how long it took you to get there, and that you needed to take a moment to pause. And I think as Black women, we are getting to a space where we're like, nope, I need to take care of myself. But even your knowledge of like, it took me 2 weeks to get here. Like, it didn't just happen. It lets me know that you're doing the work. And my prayer is that there will be more space for you and more rest for you, and so that you can re-energize, so that you can pour later. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Dr. Rose, how are you?
Yeah, I also spent a lot of time thinking about this question. If you'd asked me any other day, it might have been a different answer. But today I also feel well, I feel okay. I'm actually ending a semester right now. A 6-week summer semester is coming to a close. So I'm juggling a lot. And with 70 students who are all trying to make sure they wrap up nicely. I'm busy, but I became really intentional earlier in 2021, so a while ago, about creating space for myself. And I've really committed to that over the past year or so. And so even this morning, before we sat down to record, I took an hour and a half for myself. No phone, nothing, and just worked out, did some affirmation work. And so, because I wanted to be as present and as whole as I could be for this conversation. And that has been a practice of mine and a commitment I made to myself again back in 2021. And it's been hard to stick to, but I deserve.
I deserve. And honestly, that hour a day changes the whole trajectory of your day. Like, just being able to sit with yourself with no phone, no interruptions. I was on Instagram yesterday and I follow Dr. Farfan Santos, and she was saying how she read a book for 1 hour straight, like a book that she enjoyed. And I was like, dang, I want to get to that level right there. Like, that means a lot, just to have your time.
And I just want to bring us back to like our first season when we talked about morning practices. Like, before you start your day, and I know it's challenging. I'm a new mom too, and I'm still figuring it out. Mine is at like 6 o'clock in the morning after my son has his first feed. But I'm always making sure that I take the time to pour into me. Sometimes I can get a whole hour and a half, and sometimes, depending on the day, wasn't like this before I became a mom, I can get 15 minutes. But it makes me better for my son, for my students, for my best friend, for my husband, because I've taken the time to refill my cup. So all the people who are listening, I hope that when you hear this, you are inspired by Dr. Rose and by Shanae to figure out a way to rest so that you can pour into yourself, so that you'll have more to give to others. So I'm going to get right into the hard conversation. Yeah. And I want to preface this by saying I work in a non-melanated space. I'm the only Black person in my program. And it always feels like when a tragic event happens to a Black person, I just so happen to be at work, like heading into a meeting or something, and I am literally distraught. But what I always notice is when I log on or when I join, my non-melanated folks,
they business as usual.
Business as usual. And I have become a disruptor disruptor. I have been known to be a disruptor of these spaces. And so I will always bring it to the forefront. Like, it is really hard for me to be present right now, knowing that, you know, what happened to Breonna Taylor. Like, did y'all just see the verdict on that? So I love this question. And I just want to I wanted to contextualize it. But every time a Black person is killed, as educators and as Black people, we are forced to just continue on as business as usual. How have you disrupted the harm upon Black people, educators, and students? I know that's a big task, and I'm going to start with Dr. Rose. How have you disrupted just the business as usual and not taking time to honor Black humanity?
Yeah, well, I work at also... I work at an HSI, so a school that's been classified as a Hispanic service serving institution. Mm-hmm. And I will say, and I started there in 2020, so I will say that I don't know what it was like before I got there, but mm-hmm. I've seen a great effort for it to not be business as usual, where they will organize an institution-wide or, a university-wide space for everyone to come together virtually. And now that we're back, moving back into in-person options as well, to hold space for people to come together and talk about what's going on, talk about what the institution can do to address how the issues are manifesting locally and maybe campus-wide. And so I have seen that concerted effort, and that is encouraging, right?
I was about to say that was the word. I'm like, I love that you have that, Dr. Rose. We'll
That is encouraging, right? To know that these spaces are open and that it's coming from the provost's office, from the president's office.
That's amazing.
And that when it gets down to the conversations that I have in my classroom, I'm not doing something that's out of the norm. Mm-hmm. But I know that that's a very unique experience.
Absolutely.
Right?
I'm sitting here looking in awe. What does that feel like? What does that sound like?
What is that experience like? Yes, I'm right there with you, Frank, because I'm like, oh, what?
Notice I ain't said a word, because I'm like, really?
Listen, and, I've been impressed in general just some of the work that's being done at Hispanic serving institutions. But I want to ask Shanae, like, is that your situation too? Like, let me know. Maybe I'm the anomaly, okay?
No, I'm with you.
Shanae, how are you, how have you disrupted the harm upon Black people and educators and students when, we go on as business as usual, when Black people are killed or hurt or harmed? I wanted to ask you what your situation is like.
My situation is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I'm predominantly around children. So, okay. And by say children, I mean teenagers who think they're grown.
Yeah, listen, I got one. Yeah. Honey.
And so, just Buffalo, for instance, happened on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And, it's so hard to just be, a Black person living, enjoying a Saturday. And then you turn on the TV, you turn on Twitter, you log on to Instagram and you see a massacre. Something that was super important to me that I saw was somebody tweeted, I believe, "Don't put hurt people in front of students." And so the first thing that I did was I scheduled a therapy appointment for myself.
Wow.
I immediately was like, I cannot hold this by myself and then walk into a classroom Monday morning. So I scheduled an emergency therapy session. On Monday, we were reading a book, A Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds, which is about gun violence and Black people dying from guns. Mm-hmm. So that day, I stopped it. We needed a break. We needed a breather. Mm-hmm. I needed a breather. And so the biggest thing I did was kind of take care of myself. I made sure that I was in a place to have that conversation. And so by Tuesday, I was able to open this space for my students and ask them, what does this mean for you? How are you feeling? And so just honoring the space that they needed as a classroom community. And a lot of what they said was very different than what I was feeling and what I would have mm-hmm. imagined. So being able to hold that space, I don't think I would have been able to do that if I had not prioritized making sure that I did not walk in front of them before I had processed all of my feelings about what had happened.
So what Shanae said was so powerful that I want to take some time to elevate. So when things like this happen, like what I've noticed, especially like in the social media craze, is like everybody wants to be the first person to talk about it and mm-hmm. talk about it in a mm-hmm. specific way. Mm-hmm. Let me be the first one, you know. And what I love about what she said was, one, I needed to take time for myself first, because I knew I wasn't ready to have that conversation. The second thing that she said that actually made me take a step back was, it happened on Tuesday. It didn't happen on Monday. So the one question that you always see, like, what are you going to say to your kids on Monday morning? No. And she was like, I wasn't ready to speak mm-hmm. to them on Monday morning. So the one thing that I've learned from you, Shanae, already, and I just want to elevate this, is like, it's also important for you to be well first before you enter into that conversation, as opposed to trying to be the first to do it. And when you said, like, it hit me in a different way, all of these hit me very differently, but Buffalo hit me very hard. My grandmother is a grocery store person. On Saturdays, we go to multiple grocery stores. So my grandma get the paper on Sunday. Mm-hmm. She mark up all the things she want to get for the upcoming week. My grandmother does not drive, so I have to take her to all of the grocery stores that she wanted to go to. But peep this. My grandma got to go down every aisle just in case they did not put something in that paper and tried to get over on her, right? So we get the meat from the market. We get our vegetables from this place. We get our snacks from this place. And I could not help but think about the fact of how much time my grandmother spends in the grocery store, and how that is a ritual and a thing that she loves to do. And people who are going about their everyday lives just to go to the grocery store were killed. Mm-hmm. That just startled me so much.
Because it could have been anybody.
It could have been anybody.
Anybody black.
And so I felt that very deeply in a very different way. So I just wanted to thank you, Shanae, for being honest about that. Of course you can add. Go ahead.
It just, the fact that for so many families, an entire generation of elders mm-hmm. yeah. were just went to the grocery store and didn't. I think that that is something that people don't consider, right? Like we lost our, these families lost wisdom. They lost advice. They lost guidance. They lost and at the grocery store, it doesn't. You talking about your grandmother was just like, yeah, that's not just that's an institution, right? That's a matriarch. That's somebody's everything. And so it's just that whole generational wisdom kind of hit me differently too, because it's like, we just put so much out there at the grocery store and it's ridiculous.
Mm. One of the homies that I am on a committee with, she's actually born and raised in Buffalo, and she's in academia. So this was actually her first time moving out of Buffalo, and she was telling me how they have fought so hard to get that grocery store in mm-hmm. the black community, right? And so this hits hard because some people are dealing with guilt, like, well, we wanted this and then we got it, and then look what happened within this space. And as you're talking about to your students, one of the things and how you had to be well in order for, you know, to have these discussions, I'm reminded of our middle schoolers that we talked to a couple of episodes ago, and they want to process things like this. Like, those are some amazing mm-hmm. middle schoolers, but it's so important for teachers to be able to put a pause mm-hmm. before they open up these forms of engagement. And it's in the same thing with parents mm-hmm. because there's a lot of conversations that I want to have with my children, but I also want to make sure that I'm in a clear mind, level head, in order to hold these spaces for us to have these dialogues. So I just wanted to pin that for teachers and for parents, not just educators, but for parents. It's okay not to address things right when it happens.
Yeah, and I think too, to allow the emotions to come up, because I think mm-hmm. those tears are important. We're dealing with people. Like, in this situation, yeah. it's scary, right? And it's hurtful and it's harmful. And I think sometimes as black women, we're like, we got to be super strong. We got to make sure we show up strong for our students, but we also have to show up human, I think is extremely important. I wanted to ask Dr. Rose if she wanted to add anything before you went to the next question.
Yes, I was thinking so much about what everyone's saying, and even reflecting on how institutions sometimes do handle these things when they do open up space. There's sometimes this belief like, well, we had a space and so y'all are good, right? Like we had one conversation about it so we can move on and now we can go back to business as usual because we did have that 2-hour session led by so-and-so and so y'all are good, right? And I think what's important is when we think about how these are events that are compounded one on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other, and how the trauma builds from that, one conversation, one space, it usually isn't enough, right? And so if you're having this mentality, and a lot of the reason why I continue to talk about it in my class beyond the space that they hold is because for me, I have to let my students know I'm still processing. Like, yes, we had that conversation, but my body is still feeling things. My heart is still feeling things. My brain is still processing what happened. And now I'm processing what was said in that session. Right? Because not everybody comes to that session with the same intentions, with the same lens, with the same framing of what has just transpired, right? With the same connection to what has transpired. So now I have to process that on top of processing what happened, right? And so that's the other part of business as usual that I think gets overlooked. Oh, we had a space and now we can go back.
Right? And I think that you just hit on something because I'm thinking about we had Buffalo, then there was Laguna Woods, then there was Robb Elementary School. Then there was like a church in Iowa. Like it was like multiple things that just started unfolding, right? And so one of the things, thinking about Shanae's response and then thinking about what you just said, sometimes too, it's okay to be like, you know what? I'm processing right now. And we need to continually hold space. And the first thing that a lot of schools do or institutions do is say, we're gonna have counselors on, you know, call, or we're gonna have counselors present. Well, they processing too, because I'm going back to what Shanae said. If you hurt, you should and be in front of nobody's kids. And so I think that it is this process of holding space continually so that you can be responsive, you know, long term. And that kind of wedges me into this next question for you all. And I'll start with you, Dr. Rose. How do you prioritize your mental health as a Black woman and educator during times of racial unrest, anti-Black racism, and the list continues? Like, I mean, we can go on and on about what's happening with Black people. So how do you prioritize your own mental health right now?
Yeah, so if I could go back to the OG segment, I should have probably also called out my mother, Dr. Patty Rose, because she raised us under many things, as most Black mothers do, but one of them was, hold on to your mind. It has many interpretations and we have applied it in our family in many ways, but it was this constant reminder that if I let my mind go, right, then I am susceptible to so much more, so much worse. I'm not good for me. I'm not good for anyone else. And so we have been raised to prioritize holding onto our mind, whatever that requires, whatever that takes for each one of us, which goes back to the practices I was talking about earlier, meditation, exercise, shutting. I'm really good at unplugging for however long I need to. When I started my work on social media, that was one of the things I was kind of unprepared for, was people expected me to just be on all the time. And I don't operate like that. So I recently put up a post that was like, listen, sometimes I'm quiet and reflecting. And when I'm doing that, this page is also quiet and in a state of reflection. So I am so good at unplugging, to sit with myself, to honor my emotions, to honor what I'm feeling, to process what I've witnessed or what's being said and going on around me, but also to connect with people that sustain me in the ways that I need at that moment. So I have various people in my support system that I go to when I need certain types of refueling, and to get back to myself and to hold on to my mind.
I love that.
Listen, Dr. Beaton wrote that down, hold on to your mind. And it made me think about Pastor Darius's sermon from this past Sunday about like the battle in your mind. Mm-hmm. Like we have these physical battles, but when we have to sit with what's happening, it's on a whole nother level.
Yes.
And the one thing that I wanted to just echo when you said, Dr. Rose, there are people that I also go to process and to refuel. And I know we talked about this earlier on the first episode, and I'm just kind of, you know, circling back like, sis, bro, you good? Just making sure you check in with your friends too to make sure that they got space to hold your stuff. And Charmaine and I were actually just driving here, and before I got started with my information for the day, I told her, this is gonna be heavy, friend. Like, what I'm about to share with you is going to be heavy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important because people do want to show up for you. But I'm quite confident that all of this social unrest and all of these things that's happening, a lot of us are processing that too. And so I'm so thankful that you have someone who can pour into you. But honey, that with that mad comment, hold on to your mind, with
that's
Dr.
Good.
Patty Rose, honey, that will be a quote, and I will
Listen,
be quoting her.
Listen, I already put Dr. Patty Rose, okay? Because we got
to
get
your mind.
Because I might need to get that tattooed on me, honey, to remind me daily.
I'm also a huge proponent of therapy and have been. On a therapeutic journey since I was about 19 or 20 years
old. I love
old.
It.
So
that's
definitely
necessary for everybody.
Tops the list. My therapist is, she's on speed dial. Okay?
Listen. I love that. And I want to come to you, Ms. Shanae. Every time, I'm sorry, how do you prioritize your mental health as a Black woman and educator during times of racial unrest, anti-Blackness, racism, and all other things?
Besides there, I know you talked about therapy earlier, but are there other things that you do too?
Yeah, so therapy. I too want to shout out my mom. We come from a kind of a toxic church space where pray the demons away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was kind of the suggestion. And my mama was like, nope. Mental health is real. You're going to see a therapist. So from a very early age,
I love that.
We're going to get help. Right. We're going to get help. And so that has been a practice that I just, and my therapist is also on speed dial. I was also very intentional about finding a Black woman.
Yes.
So when I talk to her, it's like, so you know how we are. And she's like, mm-hmm. And that is so huge.
Yes,
not
so
having
huge.
To explain what I mean when I say, because I recently, and I cut my hair off, and she was, there are so many women who are not Black women who approached me, and they were like, that's so brave, that's so amazing. And my therapist specifically was like, that's what Black women do.
That's
and I was like, thank
do.
You. So
for
having
yourself.
Somebody who just, you do not have to explain,
mm-hmm.
You can just, they know, that is huge. And then I also have been journaling. I am currently growing a human.
Congratulations!
So for me, I have been forced in the last 17 weeks to sit down physically because I haven't really felt well. And your body will tell you. My body has told me, you got to chill out, girl. You got to sit. So sitting with myself has been how I have coped. And it is actually, I feel stronger and more mentally equipped to do what I do now than I have in a long time. So just sitting with myself, journaling, talking to my people. So Dr. Rose mentioned unplugging. I am still very much shielded in my COVID bubble. So for me, being on social media and reading about what other Black people are saying and hearing the communal cries for justice, for me, that is refueling to a certain extent. So being able to find community in those spaces that don't necessarily physically surround me has also been super helpful and super therapeutic.
Wow.
I love that.
So amazing. And I love that you all are sharing these things, because I think sometimes, I talk about this often in this self-care craze, right? Like, everybody's like, self-care Sunday. You know, they like
candles.
I'm taking a bubble bath. And I love that you all, you know, definitely elevated therapy, but most importantly, talked about the different things that you do, like sitting with myself, unplugging my phone and not being on it. I think it's going to give people, you know, ways that they can can explore taking care of themselves too. Because to be honest, it's very triggering. Like some of the images, like when I saw the coffins at Robb Elementary, those babies, I was done for the rest of the day. Like it felt debilitating for me. So I think it's so important for you to find those ways to take care of yourself, and your way might be very different from other people's ways.
And that's okay.
And that's okay too. As long as it's something that feels healthy for you, that's all that matters. So I'm going to give you all a big task with our last question, not in an effort to change the world, but for us to think about, because we're talking about these hard things. Mm-hmm. But one thing that we love to do on Black Gaze is to think about, like, what's the next step for people? Like, what's within our locus of control? So what do you believe we need to do as a community, as a Black community, to protect ourselves from anti-Black violence? And so, Shanae, I'm going to start with you to just give us some of your ideas of what you feel like we can do better to protect ourselves.
I think something that this question evoked for me was that, like, we need to constantly remind ourselves that the problem is not us.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's good.
It is really hard to process these things that are happening to us without being like, what are we, you know, what do we need to change? And there are a lot of things that we can do to be a reactive and proactive, but just a reminder, and I tell this to my students all the time, you know, you are not the problem. Mm-hmm. The fact that this is happening to you, to people who look like you, is a symptom of these huge systemic issues, but it is not you. You are not inherently broken. You are not inherently unworthy, no matter what anybody says, right? Mm-hmm. You are a whole person. And so taking moments to remember that whole person, especially for my students, with my students, and community with my students, and then community. I love the Black Gaze podcast because I'm such a fangirl. But the fact that you hold space for so many different reactions and so many different mm-hmm. ways of looking at the same issue is just, I want to emulate that in my classroom. I know that That's for powerful. Me. Hearing my students who are young, predominantly Black and Latinx, talk about how, you know, Uvalde and Buffalo weren't that big of a deal. You know, they were like, this happens. Mm-hmm. It was hard for me to hold space for that. But then I remembered that who they are as their authentic humans, this isn't new to them. You know, they're a generation of people who grow up seeing this on TV. One of my students said, oh yeah, I was playing a game on Twitch and I saw, you know, he saw these people being murdered in Buffalo. And how do you, it was hard. It was rough having those conversations because I was so, they're desensitized. They are. Mm-hmm. And so holding space for how they're coming to the table and their authenticity, and then finding joy. Some things that happen specifically in the English curriculum, I'm an English teacher, is all our books are so sad. Everybody is dying. Everybody is getting cholera. Somebody is always sick. And so being super intentional, especially about Black joy and Latinx joy. Mm-hmm. And so I spend a lot of time on my Twitter asking people, you know, if we're going to study the Holocaust, how do we also tell me something about Jewish people that has nothing to do with this horrible event? Tell me something about Black people. Let's talk about the whole humans. And so trying to, everything that I study, it's such a big deal for me to see the big picture. And so I don't ever want my classes, both the ones that I take and especially the ones that I teach, to be rooted in sorrow and pain. There's always, always, always looking for the joy and looking for the whole humanity of a group, of a person. Mm-hmm.
I love that, because as you're talking, I'm thinking about my oldest daughter, Ariana. And so Ariana tells me, Mommy, I ain't doing no Black trauma. Mm-hmm. We only talking about Black joy. She won't watch a movie that got Black trauma. She won't read a book that got it. She only positions herself with joy. And she's telling me, I suggest you do the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, because it puts you, not that you're trying to erase the history, but it puts you in this weighted space. And so she's always telling me, you need to shift into this joy, because we come with joy too now. It's not that we just a sad group of people. And so I'm so happy that you're bringing that into your classroom, because she's 16 and that's what she's seeking. Mm-hmm. Spaces where Black people can be celebrated.
Right. And Gen Z is not playing. They are like, we are going to. And so people are always like, kids these days, they don't take anything seriously. They take everything seriously.
Everything.
But they also have this ability to, I won't even say disconnect, but take something and turn it on its head so that not only are you, you know, you're reading something and you're laughing or you're seeing a TikTok and it's funny. They have found a way to find the humor. And that's a part of the whole humanity. So many times Black students, LGBTQ students, Latinx students, they're pathologized, right?
Yep.
We are pathologized. And so sometimes the only time that, you know, high school students read about Black people is when they read Beloved. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know any Black people, you have never had a conversation with a Black person. That's and the only thing you know about a Black person is that one book you read by Toni Morrison, your perspective is extremely limited. And yeah, mm-hmm. we are joy. We are rhythm.
We're everything that's beautiful, hun.
Yeah.
Right. We are everything that's beautiful. And so I think that for especially teachers who don't look like us, the reminder that in order for them to do that work, part of it is seeing the full scope of the humanity of the people who aren't like you.
Yes. And I love like the Black joy part. And it brings me back to like why we started this podcast to begin with, because I think it's important for us to highlight our complexities. Right. And that we're the both and. Mm-hmm. And when I think about like what you said, it really took me back. I was getting chills like to my work at Spelman, like going to a historically Black college. We spent a lot of time talking about just the greatness of Black people. Right. And that wasn't something that I was accustomed to in high school. Like I knew the greatness of my family and of my community, but that wasn't something that we talked about. And they were just like, you do know who we were before this.
Absolutely.
And I think it's so important for us to continue to elevate those conversations, because the one challenge that we have as Black Americans is just not having access to our history prior to this land, right? And so it's extremely important for us to be doing that work, which is why our research has changed so much. Like, let's center Blackness. Let's shift from this white gaze and only think about the negative things of who we are. Let's elevate everything, you know, the conditions and the assets of who we are. And I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing. Dr. Rose, I want to go to you. What do you believe we need to do as a community to protect ourselves from anti-Black violence? What do you think we need to do?
I think I'm not going to say much different. I think this is where I've been for some time. A lot of my work has shifted into the space about what it means to teach and live and lead vulnerably. Mm. And I think that so much of what we've talked about today is how we've learned to tuck and put things away. Mm. And I think that's actually doing more harm than good. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we can, and I think having the conversation about vulnerability, it's complex in itself because who is safe to be vulnerable? Where mm-hmm. are they safe to be vulnerable? And how are you safe to be vulnerable? But I think it all comes back to connecting to who you are, what sustains you, what brings you joy, as Shanae was saying, what reminds you of the love that you embody and that you have around you. Because I think the constant deluge of images and stories of Black trauma mm-hmm. keeps us so rooted in fear and trauma and
that's good.
Things that in very much many ways are the opposite of the love that we produce and that we feel in our homes and in our communities and in ourselves.
That's so good.
And so if you can find ways to reconnect with that love, then I think we can and more fully operate from that space. I think love can heal. My classroom is a space of healing for me. Mm. It's a space of healing, I hope, for my students. And I've heard from many because we love each other and not in this kind of, you know, we're all family, but in this, we're going to tell you the truth about what you're saying and what you're bringing to this space. But we're also going to honor your experience and what has gotten you to where you are. And I think a lot of what we try to do is like push past the pain and push past all of that. No, we need to honor it so we can heal it. Mm. And
I like that.
Yeah. So that's where I am lately is thinking about. I even do that with my students. Like I had to lead a session the day the Robb Elementary shooting happened, and I got on and I was just talking. And then I was like, I need to stop, y'all, because I'm hurting. And we need to honor that. I'm going to just take a minute. And we just turn cameras and mics off. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think we can just, because that's the love, right? Mm-hmm. Is to honor that we're having human experiences and that the emotions we're feeling are necessary to mm-hmm. get to the healing.
Wow. Y'all, this was a powerful interview. So many gems have been dropped. It's been good and healing for me to be in this space with you all, just to connect and to talk about the things that we've been experiencing as Black women over the past month and a half. I mean, I know that things have happened prior to that, but I'm just thinking the start of Buffalo, moving into all of these more recent events. And so I thank you for, like Keisha and I always say, we thank you for your yes.
Yes.
Because we understand that you all did not have to join us today. We understand that these topics are still raw because y'all are boots on the ground. You are in the classroom, you in the trenches, right? And so we don't take this lightly at all that y'all are here. But I do want to shift us a little bit now so that we can, you see how I did that? I honored you, and then I was like, but we got to shift, okay? we're going to do some of our closing things. And the first thing we're going to do is, what you doing with your life?
What you doing with
what you reading, what you watching, or what you listening to? Give the people something. This ain't got to be out educated. This could be ratchet. I'm watching Teen Mom 2, okay? That's what I've been watching lately. So, what are you doing? What you doing with your life? Let me start with you, Dr. Rose, because I see you on my screen. What are you doing with your life?
I'm doing too much. Short answer, too much. I am watching Downton Abbey because if there's one thing I love is British mess. You know what I'm saying?
Come on,
I
love British mess.
British mess. That's how I describe it. Mess. You know, I love the drama that they put themselves through. It's like, you don't have to do this to each other, and yet you do, right? So I love some good British mess. And so that's where I am with what I'm watching. What I'm reading, a lot of things because I'm writing.
Understood.
You mentioned at the top of my book, I am working on a book that is set to come out March 2023. So we are in what my mother and I call the gathering stage. And so, and I'm writing every day.
Congratulations. Yes. Come on, Black woman with a book.
And we gonna buy it, right? Black gays people, we gonna buy it,
mm-hmm. and we not gonna buy it from the corner store. We gonna buy it from where it need to be bought, Black bookstores.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shanae, what about you? What you doing with your life?
I am reading a book called Take My Hand by Dolan Perkins Valdez. It's really heavy. So on the flip side, I'm also rewatching Grace and Frankie, which is it's so weird. And it's about these older women being weird. And I love it. It's something that my therapist and I talk about a lot. What are you going to do to unplug? And so I'll just turn it on and laugh. And I'm taking a grad school class about memoir writing. So cranking out some personal things, and I am hanging out on Twitter. That's literally all I'm doing all the time.
Look, that's not all you're doing. That's enough. Come on.
I was waiting, ain't nobody watching B-Bag.
Why was I just about to say, ain't nobody in the paint?
Ain't nobody at the paint with us?
Okay, I guess it's just us and Chuckalisa. But whatever.
Listen, Charmaine and I got a group chat. We literally debrief our favorite shows, okay? So if you do not debrief on Twitter or with your folks, please debrief your favorite shows.
Listen,
it's hilarious.
Message. Because I need to know what was happening last week. But go ahead.
Okay, so our final segment that I love, which is so important because we like to honor the people who came before us, but there are so many great people who may not be on the Black Gays podcast that are doing great work.
Yeah.
And so we want to start with our favorite segment. Well, this is our favorite. Well, one of our favorites. I see you.
I see you, Shy. shining.
And so what we like to do is to celebrate someone that's in your life that's doing a thing. So I'm going to start with you, Shanae. Who do you see out here as an educator in your area who's doing great work around having critical conversations in the classroom? Is there anyone you want to elevate? If you can have more than one, you can have a Keisha
spirit. Go ahead and have the Keisha spirit, honey. It was all you for honor and OGs. Keep it going.
The one person who I was thinking is who I heard on the Black Gays podcast for the first time I heard her voice is Dr. Bettina Shea.
Yes!
I am obsessed with her, and she recently sent me the sweetest note, and it's this note that I framed, and she's just constantly reminding me that I am in community with folks. Mm. She's constantly reminding me that I am not alone.
She's
a beautiful soul. I love her, and she's so kind and so good, and she's always like, hey, don't forget you got people. Don't forget that you are doing this in community with folks, and that word community has just sustained me so much these last 2 years. So I love
her. And that is Dr. Shea. Like, she will make you understand that you are not alone, and I love her because she'll pull up on you.
Will she not?
She will pull up on you, honey.
Listen, pull up on you.
Listen, she'll be in your chat. Where you been at? How is the baby?
I love that
about her. Because
send you flowers.
Send you flowers.
Flowers. Oh my gosh.
Because people say they'll do something, but she actually does that. So I love that.
And there's no, it's not transactional.
Nope, not at all.
Because a lot of y'all is transactional.
Who is the y'all?
I don't know the people listening. They know who they are.
I cannot. To Courtney Rose, who do you see? Who do you want to elevate? Who's out here helping you have critical conversations that's like, you know, your peer, or that's having critical conversations in the classroom too?
This is a no-brainer for me. No-brainer. Yadi Bell Mercedes. She's at yadi.mercedes on Instagram.
All right, I got to follow Yadi.
Yes, come on, Yadi.
Yes, she is the one who reminds me. Sometimes I'm just going through and getting lost, and Yadi will just, she's all love, all positivity, but all critical thought all the time. Mm-hmm. And she hosts an IG live show called Sunday Brunch Live. She's had everyone.
Oh, I've seen Yadi. Yes.
She is the real deal, y'all. If you need love and light, and
then we need to see Yadi.
Critical thought. Yadi, she got
you. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yes, her Live Brunch Sundays are everything. I watch the replays if I can't catch them live, but incredible work, and really driving a lot of important conversations on Instagram, but also beyond.
And so. Listen, I'm going to break code real quick, and I want to say I see y'all.
Dr.
Courtney Rose and Mrs. Shanae Wells-Bond. I see you all doing great work, too. And I pray and I hope that this space that we have provided gives people the opportunity to have more access to you all's excellence and brilliance. And I really, really hope that when they experience you all, it makes them want to be better and pushes them further in their purpose, because it has definitely, even in our small times together, has pushed me to think more critically about how I'm showing up in my own classroom.
Yes, absolutely. Y'all, we don't want to leave you, but we got to, because you know we paying for this studio time.
Listen,
we about to hit you with the church bulletin so we can get on out of here. And so, friend, I just want to share with the people that we need you all to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and on YouTube, and that is all at Black Gays Podcast. Twitter, you know you can't have all them characters, so that is at Black Gays Pod. And so we ask that you follow us, like our stuff. Listen and subscribe on all platforms, but most of all, write a little comment, give a little 5-star, you know, all that good stuff that you would do for a good Uber driver. And also, we ask that you just share our episodes with your folks, even your enemies, because they need deliverance too. Share with non-melanated folks. Let them hear what Black folks need in this world.
And I think it's so important, especially if you know of educators who are thinking about, because I always get, you know, non-melanated folks like, hey, how do I have this conversation? Honey, this is the episode for
this
what?
Is it.
You.
This they is giving you. It to you, okay?
And then a special shout out to our team. Ain't nobody fresher than our clique. Okay. So big shout out to Mimi. Big shout out to Brittany. Y'all are the bestest and we love y'all. So friend, tell them what they got to do to close this thing out.
We only got one more request from y'all. This is random. It made me think about the Real Housewives of Atlanta. When they was like, girl, we'll take this last shot for you, but you got to run me my coins. Okay, let me get focused.
Please get back on point.
Okay, so we just want you to say your name in the best way that you know how, because you are not our guest. You are our co-host. So we will model for you. I'll start. It's your girl, Dr. Porcher.
And it's your girl, Dr. Bertrand. Doctor.
And it's your girl, Dr. Courtney Rose.
It's your girl, Shanae Wells-Bond.
And